Coming up on Red and Gold, we feature Chiefs Pro Bowl linebacker Tom Bahaly.
Tom Bahaly just continues to pursue the National Football League quarterbacks with reckless abandon.
Plus, I sit down with special teams coordinator Dave Tobe. Then, we catch up with Chiefs legend Dante Hall.
He's at the 35-30. Dante Hall's going to do it again. The human joystick with the touchdown, Kansas City.
It's all next on this edition of Red and Gold.
Across the 40, Charles is going to go. See you later.
Hey Chiefs fans, welcome to Red and Gold. I'm your host, Rachel Sanchi. Since 2006, Tom Bahaly has been a leader for the Chiefs defense. His relentless approach to the game has made him one of the most dominant pass rushers in the NFL. Hawley's 73.5 career sacks rank third in Chiefs history, and his 27 forced fumbles rank second only to Derek Thomas. This week's player spotlight shines on Chiefs outside linebacker Tom Bahaly.
My expectations of Tom in 2013 was that they're going to be able to unleash the beast. So for the most part, Tomba wasn't going to be the only guy having to rush on every single play. Tomba was going to have Justin on the other side. He was going to have some blitzes. Maybe it's from a safety. Maybe it's from Derek Johnson. Maybe it's from another inside linebacker. But every play, Tomba was going to have some help.
I thought early on in the season, Justin Houston was dominant. And that took some attention away from Tom Bahaly. Then you started getting that second month of the season, you look at the numbers, and he's coming up with 2 sacks, 2.5, 1 sack, and his motor was so good. And I do think he was somewhat rejuvenated by having Justin Houston so effective on the other side.
Here comes another blitz, he can't attempt, he fumbles the ball. Tom Bahaly just continues to pursue the National Football League quarterbacks with reckless abandon.
When they would meet at the quarterback, unbelievable. What was Case Keenum thinking? I mean, really. In the second half of that game when the Texans were here, making his first NFL start, he's got Justin Houston coming from one side, he's got Tomba on the other. Well, those two guys coming together, phenomenal. And I think Houston helped out Tomba just as much as Tomba helped out Houston.
Tonight we play assignment football. Just do your job. Like Coach said, we don't want to leave this field and regret anything tonight. So when we get on this field, leave it all out.
It's all out, baby.
Chiefs on three. 1, 2, 3. Chiefs.
I think Tomba forces everybody on this team to raise their level to where he's at and to make sure no matter what that they give everything they got.
Yeah, man, let's go. Let's play, let's play, let's play. That's what we do now. Let's play, let's play, let's play. Let's go now, let's go now, let's go. Let's go now. Too close, this game too close.
When you look at Tom Bahaly and what he can offer this football team and offer the young players, that motor, that constant motor where you never go, you're playing whistle to whistle, and that's something that you just can't coach.
You don't necessarily have to sack the quarterback, but you have to affect the play. And that's one thing that Tomba can do. He affects the play, whether he gets to the quarterback. And he also knows how to fight off those tackles that are trying to hold him. You know, and they try to hold him every single play.
Hey, ref, holding all day now. What's that? What's that? Thank you. He's done that a whole game.
And I think the other thing with Tom Bahaly is there's, you know, the question as your physical tools do begin to erode, which is normal for everybody, and it starts to happen about the age Tom Bahaly is, can you compensate with intelligence? Can you compensate with experience?
Take the snap, hand off McFadden. Pryor's going to keep it. This time he goes down. Down he goes as Tom Bahaly reads the zone read perfectly, and 3rd and 2 becomes a loss of 5.
Early on, Tom Bahaly could just out-physical the opposition. Now you have to prepare even harder, studying your opponents, being in the classroom, watching film.
Sometimes the veterans, just step back and say, okay, I don't need to go 110% on this play. If I go 80, that's good enough, and then I'll set them up, and then I'll go 110 two plays from now, and then I'll get the result that I need. And I think that's what you get from Tomba. He's a crafty vet. He's been around, super talented, works his tail off.
This past season, the Chiefs special teams were phenomenal. They broke the NFL single-season kickoff return average record, led all teams in both kickoff return touchdowns and punt return touchdowns, and were the only team to have three different players return kicks for a score. This week, I sat down with the architect of this outstanding unit, Chiefs Special Teams Coach Dave Tobe. What does your offseason look like this year, and how does it differ from the last?
A lot different this year because we know, you know, what our personnel is, and we know that we've already installed our system, and so we're going to take it from the next step and move it forward so we can kind of spend more time with fundamentals and stuff like that. So it's a lot different.
What is the mindset that you like your players to have on the special teams unit?
We need to have a lot of pride in what we do, and I think our guys do that. There's no question. Coach Reed gives us a lot of time and emphasizes it, so that's the first step. And then the guys, they're really into it. I mean, they want to be good. They want to make a difference on special teams. We want to win games on special teams, so that's kind of our mindset. You know, once you have that going, it kind of takes a life of its own. The guys really start buying in, and they want to be part of it. You have starters that come to me, and they want to be on the kickoff return team because we're having so much success, or punt coverage because we're keeping guys within 6 yards return. And, you know, you got guys like Colquitt that are putting the ball inside the 20, and everybody just wants to make plays, and they want to be part of it. So that's what we try to get going here.
You and Coach Reed go way back. How has that relationship developed over the years?
I mean, we go all the way back to UTEP. I've seen Andy grow over the time. He's seen me grow. So, you know, we've kind of went up through the ranks together. I mean, obviously, you know, he gave me the opportunity to get in the NFL back in 2001 with the Philadelphia Eagles. So Andy kind of introduced me to the NFL. I worked with him for 3 years and then moved on to Chicago Bears for 9. Now I'm back with Andy again. So we've come full circle. And really, I owe Andy a lot. You know, we've been through a lot together, and it's been a great relationship.
Looking back at this past season, what are some of the accomplishments that you're most proud of?
I think probably the kick return, the fact that we broke the record, that was a long-standing record. We averaged 29.9 yards per return, which is something that the guys are really, really proud of. Dustin Colquitt, you know, he was finished number one with inside the 20 punts. We only gave up 6.5 yards per return on punt. A punt is a big aspect of special teams now, especially with the de-emphasis of kickoff return. So punt return are critical. You have to make your hay there in those two phases. So, you know, we feel like we did a good job there. We didn't have any turnovers last year, which is huge. And then we were number one in scoring. I mean, we scored 30 points last year, 5 touchdowns. So we set the bar high last year. Now we're going to have really, really lofty goals next year going forward. So, you know, it's going to be exciting.
Coming off such a successful season in 2013, what are some of your goals for 2014?
Well, you know, when you score 5 touchdowns, I'm sure Andy is going to set a goal at least 5 touchdowns again. So, you know, you can't set a goal lower than what you did the year before. But, you know, we want to finish number one on special teams. You know, overall, at the end of the year, we want to win the Super Bowl, obviously. But, you know, our game within the game is our special teams. For us, with finishing number one on special teams, that's like winning the Super Bowl. So that's what we try to instill in our guys.
Coming up, we head to the film room with Voice of the Chiefs Mitch Holthus and former Chiefs long snapper Kendall Gammon as they break down Dontari Poe's 2013 breakout season. And later, we catch up with the X Factor, Dante Hall. Welcome back to Red and Gold. In the National Football League, most say that the biggest jump in production a player will make is between his first and second year. During the 2013 season, we saw second-year nose tackle Dontari Poe take that leap, establishing himself as one of the most dominant interior linemen in the game. On this week's Chiefs Live Overdrive, Voice of the Chiefs Mitch Holthus and former Chiefs long snapper Kendall Gammon join us to discuss Dontari Poe's breakout sophomore campaign.
Charles to run to the near side. He's got the open field.
It's going
to
be hit and obliterated.
Sack by Tom Mahoney.
Wants to throw for ball.
At the 30, at the 20. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Dontari Poe turned into a beast in 2013. Now he's listed as one of the elite defensive linemen in the entire National Football League. So, Kendall, I have to ask, what did Dontari Poe do to go to the next level?
Well, Mitch, I started with his rookie season in 2012. We all knew he had the potential. He blew people away with his athleticism at the combine. His strength and power were off the charts, and there was a real feeling that he could be a special player in this league. But there was also a sense that coming from a smaller school in Memphis, that Dontari would probably experience a bit of a learning curve in his first season with the team. It was his rookie season. I think at times he struggled with the intensity of the NFL, sometimes getting pushed around. That coupled with the fact that possibly he could have been in better shape. 2012 was a learning experience for Dontari.
Well, let's be honest now. Memphis was not a power in Conference USA when Poe was there playing FBS football, so some growing pains were to be expected. But let's fast forward to 2013, Kendall. What did you see in his game last year?
Well, simply put, 2013 was a breakout year. Dontari really emerged in 2013. He had 5 sacks, 28 hurries, and only 2 missed tackles, and made it to his first Pro Bowl. He really established himself as one of the best defensive linemen in the game. When I look back at his performance in 2013, 2 things stand out. First, his pass rushing ability has improved significantly. In week 2, the Cowboys were deep in Chiefs territory, threatening to score. It was a close game, and Dontari makes one heck of a play.
Romo takes the snap. He's going to be engulfed and sacked. Dontari Poe
hits him with a great move here and goes right by for the QB sack.
Poe shot through there like nobody blocked him.
That combination of quickness and power is devastating coming from the nose tackle position. Mitch, that's about as good as it gets from a nose tackle, and something we didn't see in 2012.
Well, it was really impressive. He did it against Travis Frederick, who was voted to the all-rookie team at the end of the season. When you watch tape, Kendall, how did he fare against other good young talent?
Well, Mitch, he made strides week in, week out, and it seemed like he faced great talent week in, week out. The Titans had driven to the Chiefs' goal line and had a chance to pull within 3 points just before half. On 4th and goal, they decide to run right at the Chiefs' D. Poe was up to the challenge. The physicality that he shows to essentially throw the Titans' guard out of the way is really impressive. That allows him to meet the runner, Jackie Battle, 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
He slams into the line! Did he get in?
Battle didn't have much momentum after that, and the rest of the Chiefs' D finished him off short of the goal line.
No! Kansas City holds!
Holding the Titans on 4th down. That's a big play, and it changed the complexion of the game.
Love impact plays. You can see early in the year Dontari's hustle. He was relentless no matter where the play was on the field. And I have to ask you, how unique is it that he could chase down even perimeter plays?
Mitch, very unique. And week 14 at Washington, perfect example. Late in the second quarter, the Skins went with a screen to Garcon on the far side of the field. And as you can see here, Poe is essentially able to cover half of the field in a couple of seconds, chasing down Garcon, one of the fastest receivers in the game, for a short gain.
I've never seen a big man move so quickly in space. Look at this. It's like a rhino chasing down a deer.
Mitch, as you can see from his 2013 season, his consistency level and technique grew each and every week. That is a scary proposition for offensive lines in 2014.
When Red and Gold returns, we catch up with the one and only Dante Hall.
When they saw Dante come on the field, they were anticipating something exciting happening, and it did often.
Touchdown, Kansas City! Touchdown, Dante Hall!
Welcome back to Red and Gold. You may know him as the X-Factor, or the human joystick. Dante Hall is one of the most electrifying return men in the history of the National Football League. During his 7 seasons with the Chiefs, Hall recorded 20 touchdowns, broke several franchise records, and racked up over 12,000 return yards. In 2003, Hall returned a kickoff or a punt for a touchdown in 4 consecutive games, which to this day remains an NFL record. In this week's Access Arrowhead, we catch up with the one and only Dante Hall.
In the NFL, there's no play as exciting as a return for a touchdown.
And as we were watching the defense on the field, we were constantly hoping that they can force a punt.
when they saw Dante come on the field, it was not just, oh, here comes a punt return, oh, here's a kickoff return. They were anticipating something exciting happening, and it did often.
Bengals left 20, 25, 35, 30. You can forget it. The human joystick.
Every time he touched the ball, you just knew something special was going to happen.
He was somebody who could change the course of the game in a single play.
Touchdown, Kansas City! Touchdown, Dante Hall!
He came to Kansas City, and I don't think anybody really knew that much about Dante Hall.
My rookie year, I only played in 5 games. That rookie year was a blur. It really didn't start off well.
He was the new kid on the block. He was struggling. There was a time where he didn't know if he'd even be a part of this Chiefs organization. He was sent over to play in NFL Europe and really learn how to become a wide receiver with the Scottish Claymores. And Dick Vermeil came on the scene, and that was the rebirth of Dante Hall.
I sensed that his spirit needed to be repaired.
He and Vermeil had a relationship unlike any player and coach I've ever been around. There was a real love between them.
Now, Dante Hall wants to get back in a hurry. He's going left side. Now he darts to the right side, explodes to the 40. He
Here
might
he goes.
Do it.
Here he goes. Come on, Dante. Come on, Dante. Come on, Dante. Get in here.
It was fun to watch him grow in confidence. He could take a 1-yard hitch pass and score with it. Or he might run a reverse on you, or he might, something different, and it could still go deep.
Those type of players are very special. And when you have one, you can't wait until they get their opportunity.
The buzz in Kansas City during Dante Hall's 4-game streak, where he had a return in every game, was unlike anything I've ever seen.
And up the left side, 15-20, burst of speed.
He feels the ball, and all of a sudden there's a crowd around him, and you can't see him because he's short, small, little guy.
For me, it was simply go where they're not. I can't get through a cluster of 20-some-odd guys, so let me go where they're not. That was my style.
First guy misses, second and third guy miss.
Look,
right
he's
side,
got a
block for Dante Hall.
And out the other end of the pile of people comes Dante Hall going toward the end zone. We're going to win the football game.
He's going to outrun the entire Ravens defense. Touchdown, Kansas City!
That's why he's the best. That's why he's the best right now. That's why.
And then I think about the Denver Bronco game.
It was late in the fourth quarter. The Kansas City Chiefs, they were down by 6. It was Denver. It was the 5th game of the season. They were 4-0. And this was a team that hadn't had a start like that in a while.
That picture remains in my mind very vividly. And I think about it often.
I remember writing that Dante Hall came to the stadium and changed in a phone booth. Somehow he was able to conceal his cape and his Superman suit.
Dante fielded the ball at about the 5-yard line, which, of course, coaches always shudder when a player fields the ball inside the 10-yard line.
When he fields a punt back inside the 10, and I'm yelling to myself, Dante, Dante, don't feel that, don't feel that. He runs back to about the 1-foot line.
You never get a punt and just simply turn around and start running backwards. And he ran 15 yards behind the point where he got the ball.
I just knew we were kind of stalling our offense, and I just went back to the backyard days of football.
Makes the first man miss, looking to try to get to the outside. He's in trouble, surrounded. Now he gets to the left side. He's got nobody, but the kicker in front of him. Hall's up the left side, 35-40. A block on Norm. He's at the 35-30. Dante Hall's going to do it again. The human joystick with the touchdown. Kansas City, 92 yards on an unbelievable kick return.
The crowd had the best bird's eye view, and so you listen to them, you can hear the roar. Go back. The minute I broke left, I knew that was the correct way to go because the crowd just went crazy. That run, wow. You talking about rolling the dice? That's rolling the dice, putting a house on the line, the baby, the wife. You putting everybody on the line rolling the dice because big game. And I just broke about 2 or 3 special teams rules that you just do not do. Thank God it worked out for me. I'm getting a hug right now, but I could be getting slapped right now if it went the other way.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Red and Gold. If you missed any of the show, be sure to go to kcchiefs.com and get caught up. And Chiefs fans, if you haven't heard, you can join the inaugural Chiefs Fantasy Camp beginning May 15th. Break down film, enjoy your personal locker, and huddle up with Chiefs greats on the field at Arrowhead. Visit kcchiefs.com to learn more. Until next time, go Chiefs!
Toss power trap.